Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. If you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Daniel. The Old Testament book of Daniel. I love the Old Testament. I'm an Old Testament preacher. I preach from the New Testament, but I love the Old Testament because it teaches us about God. And it teaches us God's relationship and His interactions with man and how He deals with man. And in it, the Old Testament, we see over and over that God is a powerful God. We see the God's power. We see His majesty. We see His glory. We see His might. Whenever you need encouragement, or at least for myself, I run to the Old Testament. I know that I'm weird and I'm abstract. But you know why? Because it reminds me the power God has. And you know, when I need answers to prayer, I don't need a weak God. I need a God who's able. When I have a situation that needs to be dealt with, I don't need a God who's indecisive. I need a God who's in control. When I come to the place where I need wisdom, I need to have a God who knows everything. When I come to the place where I need a miracle, at least a miracle from my perspective, the impossible, I go to the Old Testament because it shows that God can do the supernatural. You see, we have a big, big God. And from time to time, it's good to go through and be reminded of how big our God is. And it helps us to interact. It helps us to respond to that God. That if you see God as big, you have no problems praying. If you see God as able, you have no problem seeking after Him. We need to be reminded and over and over that God is a big God. And so if you don't mind, turn with me to a famous story that we find in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel in chapter number 6. The book of Daniel in chapter 6, and notice with me, starting at verse number 1. The book of Daniel chapter 6 and verse 1, the Word of God says this: "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that all of the princes might give an account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could not find fault, or find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and they said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, and the governors, and the princes, the counselors, and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute, and to make a firm decree, that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man shall ask a petition of any god or any man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, and that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king, exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or whatever they came at the bottom of the den. Then the king Darius wrote unto the people, to all people, nations, languages, that dwelleth on the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark a phrase that we find in the book of Daniel, chapter number 6. The book of Daniel, chapter number 6, and notice the phrase in verse number 11. Daniel 6 and verse 11, found Daniel praying. Found Daniel praying. And if you'd allow me a tiny bit of liberty, I would like to formulate the title of this message in the form of a question. The question is, have you been caught praying? Have you been caught praying? If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God, a God who's worthy to be served and worthy to be worshiped. And as we come up to you now, I'm just asking that you would encourage your people tonight, that they would be reminded once again that you are a great, mighty, powerful God who ever liveth, and that your dominion, your kingdom shall never fail and shall be there forever, that you're a God who can still hear and answer prayer. Lord, stir us up to be reminded, to be helped, to be encouraged that prayer still works. And because prayer still works, Lord, that we'd be encouraged to pray even more. In spite of circumstances around us, that we would still be found faithful and talk to the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, there's many things that you could be caught doing. There are many times that people are caught in sin. That someone opens up a door and whoops, there's sin. There are times people are caught because they lied and they lied and they lied and they got caught in a lie. There are times that people are caught speeding. They're caught doing this and they're caught doing that. But when's the last time you were caught praying? What do I mean by that? Well, the Bible speaks about from Jesus in the New Testament, that Jesus says that we're supposed to go into our closet and shut the door. Now, he's not talking about going to the literal closet, but he's talking about that you need to have a time and a place where you meet with God regularly and you get rid of the distractions, you get rid of the things, and you pray. Meaning that you get rid of the phone, you set it aside, you turn it off, you get rid of the TV. You cannot be effectively praying if you're watching Facebook and playing your games. I mean, you're getting alone with God and you're praying. And while you're in the midst of talking with God and you've got a hold of God, somebody comes in and goes, oops, I didn't see you praying. When's the last time you got caught praying? When's the last time you were just not trying to do it for show, but you spent some time in the Lord? And somebody watched you. And by the way, that's a great testimony. Man, what a great testimony it is for a child to walk in and find their parents pray. What a great testimony it is to have parents come to an old-fashioned altar and their kids watch that and their kids say, there's something important about the altar. I'm interested in that too. When's the last time that you were praying at a restaurant and someone said, thank you so much for that encouragement? You understand that our prayer life, even though we're not trying to show it off, can be an encouragement to others because of our belief in God. You know why we haven't been caught praying? It's because we haven't been praying. Doesn't that make sense? If you had a testimony of prayer, you'd get caught praying. So with this idea, let's examine this idea of Daniel in the lion's den, as it's commonly referred to. And let's go with this idea of being caught praying. Notice with me as we examine this, the first thing I would like to bring up is the law. The law. Now, this happens in a time in history where Daniel has been serving in the government for many, many years. He was dragged away from his homeland in Judea about 605 BC. And he was dragged to Babylon, and there he was got sent through the Babylon public school system. He received a brand new name, but immediately, because of the wisdom and because of the intelligence, the science, the knowledge that Daniel was able to have, God placed him into a seat of power in the government for the Babylonians. And for over 70 years, he was used as an advisor. He was used as a source of wisdom. He was used as a place of administration throughout the Babylonian Empire. Well, finally, in 536 BC, that's over 70 years, the Babylonian Empire was destroyed and the Persians came to power. This time, the Persians, as they begin to redo who's in charge, it's now their empire, not the Babylonian Empire. Daniel had such a testimony that he was put immediately in charge of the Babylonian Empire, as well as his years of service in the Babylonian Empire. He's now serving in the Persian Empire. So he served two world empires because of the testimony that he had and his walk with the Lord. Notice with me in verse number 1. And it pleased Darius. Now this is dealing with Darius the Mede. That what happened is that Cyrus the Great is the emperor of the Persian Empire. And Darius the Mede is placed in charge of Babylon. Babylon was always considered in the ancient world a very special city. And so they didn't want to destroy it. They didn't want to knock it down. And so as Cyrus the Great is in charge of the entire Persian Empire, they have Darius the Mede, who's in charge of basically the Babylon state. Basically, he's like a governor of a huge state of Babylon. Now, underneath him is Daniel. Notice as it goes on in verse number 2. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, the princes might give accounts to them, and the king should have no damage. So what happened is that you have Cyrus the Great, then you have Darius the Mede, if we're going in hierarchy, a structure of it. So you have the guy who's in charge of the entire empire, then you have the guy who's in charge of the entire state, then you have the person, basically, vice governor, something along those lines, that would be Daniel. He had two other guys who answered to him, and then 120 princes that answered to all of them. And Daniel, his job is to insulate the king. So instead of bringing all the frivolous things to the king, Daniel's the one, he's basically like the chief of staff. He's to keep everyone organized, keep everyone in line, so the king doesn't get in trouble. Well, that sounds good and all, except if you're a corrupt politician, you don't want a goody-two-shoe that you have to answer to. And that's the problem, is that Daniel is a righteous man. He is not corrupt. He doesn't take bribes. He doesn't twist judgment. He's not after his own goals. He's not after the presidency. He's not trying to twist things. He's just trying to do what's right to the Lord. And the people that's underneath him do not like a goody-two-shoe that they have to answer to. Man, that ruins all your plans if you're an evil guy and you have to go answer to a guy who does everything right, knows everything that's going on. Well, that's a big problem. And they didn't like it at all. Man, you can't get ahead if you can't be twisted politician. So notice what goes on in verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because of an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So Darius says, man, Daniel makes us easy. I could basically sit and have a vacation and let Daniel do everything. I know that he's like 90 years old right now, but man, he does everything right. I'm going to put him in charge of everything. Well, that didn't help the people. I don't want a goody-two-shoe in front of ruling everything. I'll never get any of my projects done. I'll never get the bribes that I want. This isn't fun. So verse number 4, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now again, let's take this to a political realm. You know, politicians love to get dirt on other politicians. They love to get them in compromising positions. They like to get the pictures. So can you imagine Daniel having investigators following up on him? They're getting his travel plans. They're looking at what he's watching. They're looking at everything that he does. And the investigators are looking and they're looking and they can't find anything wrong because Daniel did everything that was right. It didn't mean that he wasn't a sinner. He was still a sinner. But he guarded himself. He tried to just keep following after the Lord. And as he followed after the Lord, he did the things that was right. And so they couldn't find anything. There was no scandal. There was no corruption. There was no bribery. There was no wrongdoing. Man, that's nothing frustrates a crooked politician than finding someone who's actually right and good. So what they have to do is they have to manufacture falsehood. They have to manufacture false evidence. They have to do something to discredit this guy. But how do you do that when he does everything right? So let's pass a new law to go against Daniel's belief. So notice what happens. Verse number 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. They said, man, now we got to go study him. What does he do every day? And you know what they found? Now, this is part of their investigation plan. Daniel was caught praying every day, 3 times a day. You say 3 times a day? He believed his God heard and answered prayers. He believed his God was listening to him. He had no problems taking an hour, 3 times a day, and talking with God. You know, when you talk about that, that some Daniel took 3 times a day, he took an hour to pray to God. Some of you would be shocked. Man, I can't even get 5 minutes out to God before I'm bored. Daniel took an hour three times a day to talk to God and to spend time with him. And so they said, this is what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to trip him up. We've been following him and we know his schedule. We know what he does. And the thing he does every day is he prays. So we got to come up with a rule to go against his praying. We know he's not going to stop. We've watched him. So we're going to have to trip him up concerning the law of his God. So what are we going to do? Verse number 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king. So this is Darius the Mede, who's in charge of Babylon, and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish this decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. So what happened is that they got together and they said, all right, I know what we're going to do. We're going to pass a law that says for 30 days, you can't pray to any other god except for the king. Now, remember back then, they considered kings to be gods themselves. So Darius the Mede, the reason why he's king is because he's like a little minor god. Cyrus the Great, he's a bigger god. Darius the Mede, he's a minor god. So, hey, why not stroke that ego a little bit more? Hey, king, we got a great idea. You are doing a great job. Now, they probably don't even know if he's done a great job or not. They're not trying to get Darius. They're trying to get Daniel. So, hey, Darius, we respect you so much. You're the one who grants all these petitions. Let's make a law that you sign that no one could pray to anyone except for you, Darius, because you're so great, because you're so mighty. For 30 days, no one could ask any other god except for you. Now, Darius didn't think anything would come of it. They're just trying to say how great he is, and every guy likes his ego stroked like that. So, fine. Everyone thinks I'm great. I'm doing a good job. Everyone likes me. Sure, this is good. That's a good law. So let me go ahead and sign it. But notice there is also something else about the law that we need to know, that it says in verse 8, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Now, this is an important thing. In Persian society, that the law of the Medes and Persians means that because the king is a god and a god cannot make mistakes, that means any law that he passes cannot be changed because a god cannot make mistakes. So Darius signs this law that nobody can pray in 30 days. And when it's signed, this law cannot be changed. It cannot be altered. It cannot be amended. It is set in stone. And everyone has to obey it. There's no appeals. There's no Supreme Court. Why? Because if Darius is a god, now he's answering prayers, supposedly people are praying to him, he cannot make a mistake. So now it is set. Verse number 9. Wherefore the king Darius signed the writing and the decree. I meant, hey, this sounded like a petty thing. I meant, who's really going to go check and see who's praying to whatever else? It's almost like, you know, give me the keys of the kingdom day. You know, you ever wonder why people give people the keys to the city? I meant, what does it unlock? I mean, what do you get from it? I mean, it's just an honorary thing. So he's thinking they're just honoring him. No big deal. Let's just go ahead and sign this in law. For 30 days, everyone loves the king. I could do that. So the law is set. Which brings us to the second thing I'd like to show you in this passage is not only the law, but the crime. The crime. Notice with me in verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. Now the Bible is trying to show that Daniel knew the law and he knew the consequences of the law. So this wasn't something you could excuse away. Well, Daniel didn't know. He did know. When Daniel knew that the law writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, and he knelt down his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel says, I don't care what law they pass, there's only one person I'm praying to, and that's God. And he says, I'm not going to try to hide it. Now, he's not going to public. He's not going in the middle of the city and says, oh yeah, I'm going to show you. That would be rebellion. But he did his normal thing. I'm still going to pray. I'm going to go in my house. By the way, don't you think there should be a safety in someone's house? He's not praying out in public. He's in his own house. He's not going to close the windows and try to hide. He's not going to alter his normal routine. He's not being rebellious and doing it publicly. He's just in his house. And three times a day. So once again, they have the investigators out. Can you imagine as Daniel's praying, they have the guys outside of his windows. All right, he's getting ready to pray. Oh, he's praying. Oh, he's praying again. Oh, he's praying again. And they followed him, waiting for him to pray. I got you. I got you. And they're keeping track of how many times he prayed. I mean, that's part of it. They kept track of how many times he prayed. Man, if someone kept track of how many times you prayed, what would their number be? What would their tally be? Oops. Now notice as it goes on. Verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying, making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Now, they all gather together after they get the investigators and they count how many times he prayed. And they gather together and they said, oh, king, didn't you just pass a law? Notice verse 12. They came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man shall sign a petition of that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Now, the king had no idea he's being set up here. Oh, king, didn't you just pass a law that says no one could pray, that if anyone prays to any other god or man except for you, that they'll be cast into the den of lions? He says, yes. What of it? What big deal of this? They bring in the trap now, verse 13. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel. Now, it's funny they use the word that. That guy over there, that Daniel, that troublemaker, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee. You know what they're trying to say? He disobeyed you. He purposely disobeyed you. You're supposed to be the only God around here for 30 days, and he just disregarded you. He disobeyed. He rebelled against you. They regard it not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou sign, but maketh his petition three times a day. And they say, here, look, we've got recordings. This is when he started. This is when he stopped. This is where he started again. This is where he stopped. Here, we got evidence. This isn't one-time offense. Look at how many times he prayed. He's rebelling against you. He doesn't care about you, king. And they're trying to make it sound bad. Now, it wasn't really bad. He wasn't doing it in rebellion to the king. He liked the king. But here we go. They kept track. They have this evidence now of manufactured charges. Verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. Can you imagine when they said, oh, it was that Daniel, and all of a sudden his eyes were open and he realized it was a trap and he fell right into it? Have you ever got to the place where you know you messed up and you're kicking yourself? Oh, man, can you imagine that sinking feeling, that pit in the stomach that's all twisted? He knows that he did wrong. It was him that was wrong, not Daniel. He's upset now. He was sore displeased with himself. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. So all day, you know what he did? Is he worked hard to try to convince people not to obey this law, you know, not throw them in the lion's den. He talked to the princes, but they said, no, the law can't be changed. We have to throw them in the lion's den. He talked to other people. He went to the lawyers. He went to the other people. And there's nothing that could be done. This law cannot be altered. It was very clear. If you pray to any other god or man other than the king, you are to be thrown in a den of lions, period. No exceptions, no clauses, no get out of escapes, no loopholes. It's done. All day he tried to work. He labored. He canceled all of his other appointments to try to fight for Daniel. Aren't you glad that someone tried to fight for Daniel? But no avail. It's done. There's nothing that could be done over it. Verse number 15. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established can be changed." You know what happened? The king said, "Let's not throw him in the lion's den yet. Give me 24 hours. And he did everything he could to persuade, to beg. But you know, at the very end of the day, they assembled and said, "King, you need to stop. You made a law and it can't be changed. It's over. It's over." So we see the law. We see the crime. Now I want to show you the punishment. I want to show you the punishment. Notice as we pick it up in verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel. Can you imagine they brought Daniel, this man who's in charge of the kingdom? Can you imagine they've got him in leg irons? They've got him in manacles? They've got him chained up and humiliated? Here's the prisoner. He's no longer the president. He's no longer in charge. Here's the prisoner. And they bring him in. And the king commanded, they brought Daniel to cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said to the king, now this is powerful. This is not a question, this is a statement. "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." You know, even the king knew about Daniel's faith. Can you imagine what type of faith it had to be, that knowing that if you prayed, you're going to die? And that he prayed anyways. By the way, what stops you from praying? Last time I looked, there is not a law that says you're going to die if you pray. So why don't you pray? Why don't you pray? But Daniel, even though he knows it's going to cost him his life potentially, he prayed anyways. He prayed anyways. You know what that told King Darius? That Daniel's faith was real and that there was someone he was praying to. There was someone he was praying to. You understand that if someone's faith is not real, you challenge it and they'll drop their convictions. They'll drop their belief. You know, "I don't believe in this," until the situation opens up. "Oh, no, 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 I didn't believe it." And then you hear the excuses come. "Yeah, I should go to church every time the doors are open. Unless we're having a family reunion." "I should go to church every time the doors are open. Unless this happens. Unless it's raining. Unless whatever else." Now pick up whatever thing you want. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to say, isn't that right about consistency? It tells what you believe and what you don't believe. Daniel, he was consistent even though he knew it was going to cost him something. But that did something to the king's heart. Your God is real. You know how I could tell your God is real, Daniel? Because you were consistent. You were consistent. Notice, he said a statement and not a question. He didn't say, "Is your God going to take care of you?" He said, "Your God will take care of you. Your God has to take care of you because of the faith you show in him." What happens to Daniel? Verse number 17, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. So what happened is they threw Daniel into a lion's den. Then they put a big stone, a boulder over it. Then the king sealed it with his own signet, basically his own stamp, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might be not changed concerning Daniel. What they did is they basically put police tape around it. King's tape, and they said, "Listen here, now if the seal is broken, someone try to bail Daniel out." You know what they're trying to do is they're trying to keep the king from breaking in and saving Daniel. Nope, Daniel, he's sentenced, he's in the lion's den. There's no hope for him. We're going to put in here, no escape, no way out. It's done. These guys really hated Daniel, didn't they? Verse number 18, and the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Meaning that when it came to supper time, he's so upset he can't eat. "Man, I can't eat." You ever been so upset you can't eat? He's at the place, "I can't eat, I can't eat." Neither was there instruments of music brought before him. "Man, I can't listen to music." He can't enjoy anything. He can't enjoy entertainment. And guess what? When it comes time to sleep, and his sleep went from him. The king had a more miserable night than Daniel did, as we look at the end of it. He's upset. Man, they tricked me. They tricked me. How come I didn't see it coming? Man, they played on my ego. He is mad. He's upset. Now I put a good man to death. This guy was innocent, and he went to jail. He went to death. He went to the lion's den. He's innocent, and it's my fault. It's my fault. It's my fault. What happens if God doesn't do it? That's what faith is, by the way. God, I believe you will. I hope. God, help me in my belief. Help me in my unbelief. That's what faith is. It's not sight. Lord, I hope you're going to do this. I believe you're going to do this. I hope. That's what the king is doing. God, you're going to help Daniel. I hope you're going to help Daniel. Man, he's miserable. He's upset. What's going to happen? Verse 20. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice to Daniel. That means he's a mournful thing. He's going up to the lion's den, not believing he's going to hear an answer. Daniel! Daniel! He's crying out. He's not expecting an answer back. He's crying. But he's saying it just in case. Daniel! Daniel! Servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Daniel, are you there? Then said Daniel, by the way, where is Daniel? He's in the lion's den currently with the lions. He said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. So Daniel answers, lions all around him. Hey, king, I'm fine. God has answered the prayer. God's a good God. Let me out. Verse 23. And then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, for he believed that in his God. So what happened in the lion's den type thing is they would have the lions inside of a cavern. And when they put someone inside of it, what they did is they just kind of open the hole, throw him in there. And so Daniel, what happened is that they threw him in the lion's den. He fell down this hole, and there's these lions circling around him. That'd probably be a fearful sight, right? Lions are big animals. And so they seal the boulder on top of it, and they seal it. Can you imagine darkness starting to go? All the light is gone. Now you're stuck in a dark cave with many lions. How would you like to be there? And you know what? As he watched, an angel came and said, Daniel, let's have a talk. Why don't you use one of these guys as a pillow? Let's fluff this up and you go ahead and relax there. Let's just have a good night. And so the angel and Daniel, they had a good night all night. Finally, the king comes out and says, Daniel, are you there? Yeah, king, I've been waiting for you. So they pull up the boulder, lift up the seal. Then they have to put like a rope type thing to get Daniel out. And they, you know, all right, put this harness on, and they have to haul him up. As soon as he gets up, notice verse number 23, and the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. So the king said, man, I got to see this for myself. Daniel, stand up. Let me look. Go around. Wait, go back. Not a single bite mark. Nothing there. No scratches, no mauling. It wasn't like Daniel was fighting for his life all night and was keeping all the lions. He's a 90-year-old guy, by the way. How would you like to be a 90-year-old guy dropped down from the ceiling into a lion's den? Huh? No hurt whatsoever. And the king is going, wow. And then notice it gives the explanation, because he believed in his God. You know, we still have a God who can hear and answer his prayer. Do you believe your God is able to answer your prayers? If you did, you would pray more. You see, the correlation of our prayer life is how we see our God. We can all say, yes, I believe God can do it. But remember, belief affects behavior. If you truly believed, your behavior would follow. If you believe God answered prayers, you would pray more. Notice as it goes on. And the king commanded that they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. So the king said, all right, fine. They had their fun. Daniel was officially punished. He was thrown in the lion's den. The lions chose not to eat him, but hey, he spent time in the lion's den. The law's completed. Let's go get those corrupt guys who didn't like Daniel in charge. I'm done with them. They're going to do this again if they're given the opportunity. Let's punish them for rebelling against the president. And so let's throw them in. So they got those men that accused Daniel and cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. You understand that their sin affected their whole family physically? And notice this, and the lions had mastery over them and break all their bones in pieces or ever they came to the bottom of the den. Now that's poetical language. You know what that means? That means when they threw them down, the lions ate them and not a single piece of bone fragment hit the ground. Now, someone said, well, maybe the lions, they weren't hungry. Well, that looks pretty hungry to me. They throw the guys down and not even a toenail hits the ground. The lions are all snatching them up as they're throwing them in one by one. Man, they're just eating them as they're tossing them down. They all devoured, everybody thrown in there. You say, that's horrible. Well, what they did to Daniel was horrible. And by the way, Daniel didn't order this. This was the king who was an unsaved person, but by the way, now believes there is a God. He's the one that threw him in there. Good. Verse 25, then King Darius wrote to all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which should not be destroyed, and his dominion shall not be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth. Who had delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So he said, you know what? I'm going to talk about what happened here. And I'm going to tell everyone that there's a God in heaven and that we should praise God, that we should acknowledge that this God is a living God that has power. Do you understand that our prayer life, when people watch our prayer life, and by the way, when they watch us have answers to prayer, it draws people closer to God and they said that God is real. You know what the difference between the God of the Bible and the God of other religions is? Our God answers prayer. Buddha cannot answer prayer. Confucius cannot answer prayer. Mahishna cannot answer prayer. Allah cannot answer prayer. The atheists don't even have a God. But sure enough, once the atheists get in trouble, they say, oh God, oh God, oh God. I had a prayer request from an atheist just the other day. I'd asked him, is there anything I can pray for you on? This isn't a valid atheist. And then he gave me a prayer request. You know, you push people to the limit, they will find someone to pray to. But there's only one God who can answer prayer, and that is the living God, the God of the Bible. Amen. And when people see our God answer prayers, you know what happens? They say, that God is real. So again, since I'm asking questions, have you ever been caught praying? Do people even know that you pray? How about this? Do people see prayers that you prayed answered? Do people around you know that your God is real because of the answers to prayer that you have? You understand that our prayer life is so important. Our prayer life is not just for us, by the way. It affects others. Not only in the answering of it directly, but also seeing that our God answers our prayers. You understand our prayer life is so important. You ever wonder why Christians have no influence in this nation anymore? It's because we stopped praying. Why should people believe in our God when people don't see answers to our prayer? By the way, Is it because God has lost his power? No, it's because we're not praying. Because we don't pray, people don't see that our God is real. And if people don't see our God is real, why should they believe in that God? So I go back to the thing. Have you ever been caught praying? You should. Do people see that you're praying? Now, remember, it's not a rebellious thing and it's not an attention-getting thing. Daniel didn't go in the middle of the city and said, "All right, watch me pray." That's what the Pharisees did in Jesus' time. But do you honestly come down to God and pray? By the way, that's a good thing about an old-fashioned altar. You know, people who are right aren't concerned about what people think about the altar. They're glad to see you come and pray. It encourages people. They believe God is real, and they come down and see you pray. Now, remember, if you're not physically able, there's something still about coming forward. If you have problems kneeling down, you could sit up front. You could just move forward. There's something about that action that encourages other people that God is real. And if we believe that prayer worked, we would pray more. So as it goes back, it's not the problem with God and his power. The problem is us. Have you been caught praying? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.